The Laborers in the Vineyard, Chapter 63. In the former chapter, we considered the young man who came to Jesus full of courage and who went away sorrowfully. "What shall I do," he had asked, "that I may inherit eternal life?" We told you the answer the Lord Jesus gave him. The disciples who stood by heard all this, and they think about these words of their master. Suddenly, Peter says, "Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" It is as though he says, "Lord, what thou hast requested of this young man, we have done. We have forsaken all that belonged to us, our possessions, our fish nets, and we followed thee. Shall we enter into heaven because of it?" Then by means of a parable, the Lord Jesus teaches Peter and the other disciples they never can merit anything themselves. Certainly they will enter heaven, but not due to their own good works or because they are better than the young man. They will enter heaven only through grace. Before telling you this parable, I desire to explain something to you so you can more easily understand this parable. The Jewish day began when the sun came up. This was 6 o'clock in the morning. At this hour, the Jews began to count their hours. The first hour would be hour 7 o'clock. The third hour would be hour 9 o'clock in the morning. Thus, their sixth hour would be hour 12 o'clock noon. The ninth hour of the Jews would be hour 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Do you understand this? Remember it well, because you will hear a great deal more about these hours. Now for the parable. The Lord Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a householder who had a vineyard. There is always a great deal of work to be done in a vineyard. The branches of the vine must be carefully trimmed. The vineyard must be kept clean. At harvest, the bunches of grapes must be picked with care. Early one morning, as the day began to dawn and the sun rose, this landowner went out to hire laborers. In the marketplace, he found a few men who were waiting for someone to come to hire them. He inquires of them if they desire to work in his vineyard that day. They discuss the wage and soon agree. The laborers will go to work in the vineyard for a penny, which in our money is about 16 or 17 cents. Presently, laborers earn a great deal more because everything is so expensive, but in the Bible times, a penny was the usual wage for one day. The laborers hasten to the vineyard and begin working ambitiously. 3 hours later, about the third hour, 9 o'clock our time, the landowner again goes to the market. He sees some men who have no work. He immediately goes to them and says, "You also go to my vineyard. I will give you the wage you are entitled to." They have no right to the full wage. Already 3 hours of the day have passed. These men ask nothing more, but immediately go to work, trusting this master will be fair in giving them their due payment. About the sixth hour, thus 12 o'clock our time, he again hires laborers. The ninth hour, 3 o'clock our time, he hires a few more. And when he walks into the village towards evening, about the 11th hour, 5 o'clock in the afternoon our time, he sees a few men standing idle. He walks to them and asks, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" He asks this because it possibly could have been they were too lazy to work. But no, these men were not too lazy to work. We read that in their answer, "Because no man hath hired us," they said. "All right," the landowner says, "go to my vineyard." These men could not work very long. In an hour, the sun would go down and it would become dark. There is only 1 hour left in which they can work. Still, they do it and are glad they can at least earn something. Their day will not be a complete loss. An hour later, the sun goes down and darkness descends. The work in the vineyard must cease. The laborers no longer can see. They stand at the entrance, waiting for their wages. Soon the steward of the landowner comes to pay them their wages. Those who came last and had worked but 1 hour are called first. To their great astonishment, a whole penny is put into their hand. It is a full day's wage. They did not earn this penny. They only had worked 1 hour. They go away happy and thankful. The laborers who had worked hard from 6 o'clock in the morning see this. Oh, they think, we certainly will be paid more than a penny. Probably we will get 2 or 3 pennies. They become impatient. Finally, they are called. The steward gives to these first laborers a penny. Disappointedly, they stare at this piece of money which they received. Only 1 penny. This is mean, they murmur. We don't think it honest. We worked the whole day. We performed our heavy labor in the burning sun for many hours. They only worked 1 hour. When it was no longer warm. Now we receive the same wage as they who came last. In anger, they go to the landowner and murmur. They will not let it go by unnoticed. They must have more money. They have a right to it. Aren't these men really justified in their demand, boys and girls? Is it altogether just that they all receive the same wage? And these few questions are difficult, aren't they? Probably some of you also think it is not fair. They stand before the landowner with red, angry faces and eyes glowing threateningly as they demand more money. He permits them to speak, and when they are finished, he calmly answers the one who doubtlessly is the spokesman. Friend, I do thee no wrong. You think so, but you are mistaken. This morning, didn't we agree you would receive a penny? I didn't give you less, did I? Didn't you receive your full wage? Take your penny and go your way. Surely I well know the last laborers did not earn the full wage. But if I desire to give a penny of my money to everyone, you have nothing to say. It is my business. Their penny was not taken from your money, but it was my money. The angry laborers are silent. They cannot say anything against it. The landowner of the vineyard spoke the complete truth. Do you now understand the landowner was not unjust? The first laborers received their wages. The last laborers received more than their wages. They received this money as a gift. This parable was a serious lesson for Peter, who had asked, "Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Peter wanted a wage because he and the other disciples sacrificed everything for Jesus and his service. By means of this parable, the Lord Jesus would show Peter that in the kingdom of heaven no wages are given according to merits or deserts, but only out of free sovereign grace. We people cannot merit anything. However, God's people will receive eternal glory. The Savior also added this to it: many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What does the Lord mean? Really, it is too difficult for you, but I will try to tell you something about it. Be very attentive. You go to church regularly, don't you? Besides, you hear the Bible history in catechism, school, and Sunday school. The Bible is read at home. You know very well you must be converted. You really should be the first because you know it so well. But alas, there are so many among you who do not concern themselves a bit about the gospel message, who live on indifferently. How many are there who, in spite of all the warnings, still will be lost? You should be the first, but you will be the last if you die unconverted. That is to say, you never will enter into eternal glory. Probably you know a boy or girl in the village or city where you live who never goes to church. Neither does he go to the catechism class or Sunday school. Many children, yes, alas, thousands, go with their fathers on Sunday to the ball fields or to other amusements. In thousands of families, the Bible is never read. Many boys and girls never hear the preaching of the gospel. These children do not know they must be converted. These children never are told about the Lord Jesus. Sometimes God converts such an ignorant boy or girl. Really, you expect these children would be the last to be saved, and they become the first. Oh, how humiliating for you if such children who grow up without God and His services would go to heaven and you would not. They, forever saved, and you, forever lost. Think seriously about this. The Lord is not obligated to you for anything. He saves out of free, sovereign grace. Never mock with the serious admonitions of God's servants or with the warnings of your father or mother. Are there any among you who live on indifferently? Are there those who do not want to listen to the many warnings? I have but one message for you. No, it is not my message, but the Lord Jesus says in His word, and to you too, many that are first shall be last.